Amen. Good to be back this evening. Good to see each of you who has returned back this evening as well. Good to have Brother Bonner with us on fourth Sundays, as well as his wife and daughter. We're going to invite your attention to the scripture lesson that was read by Brother David Love just a few moments ago, and talk to you using as the specific title of our lesson, Potential Danger in All Our Blessings. Potential Danger in All Our Blessings. Life, in a very real sense, is like an unbanistered bridge. If we go too far, either to the right or to the left, we land in destruction below. Our blessings that come to us from God often are an occasion to abuse the blessing and do wrong. I think this is very much epitomized in the life of Samson. Samson's strength seems to have been the cause, at least in part, of his moral weakness. Samson lived a very unusual life, and he came into the world under unusual circumstances. His mother was barren. The wife of Manoah didn't have any children. They were from the tribe of Dan. Looking at chapter 13, Israel were dominated by the Philistines for 40 years. In verse 2, an angel appeared to Manoah's wife and promised her that she would give birth to a son. Then the angel appeared to Manoah's wife again. She told her husband about the first appearance, and he had a desire to be able to witness this angel's appearance and his message for himself. So the angel appeared to Manoah's wife again, and she ran and got her husband and showed him unto him. She said, "A man appeared unto me that came unto me the other day." And Manoah arose and went after his wife. That's verse number 11 of chapter 13. And came to the man and said unto him, "Art thou the man that spake it unto the woman?" And he said, "I am." And Manoah said, "Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him?" And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, "Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware," because he had told her, instructed her, as his mother, "You don't need to eat any product of the grape or drink any wine or drink any strong drink. And Samson, your son, is going to be a Nazarite from his birth onward. He's not to partake of any product of the vine. No grapes he could eat, no wine could he drink, no product of the vine at all, and no razor was to come upon his head." Manoah sacrifices in the presence of the angel. And as the fire is burning for the sacrifice, miraculously, the angel ascended from them in the fire itself. Verse 24 of chapter 13, the woman did have a son. They called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Now, one of the things with which the Lord blessed him was prodigious strength. The name Samson has become synonymous with strength, with power. We see Samson's strength and victory demonstrated in chapter 14. Samson desires a wife of the Philistines. He kills a lion. He has a special marriage feast. He propounds a riddle to the Philistines. And they tricked him because they forced his wife to give them the answer. She worried Samson until he finally told her the answer, and she told the answer to his enemies, so they won. And he had to give them 30 changes of garments, but in order to get those garments, Samson slew 30 of the Philistines and took their garments and gave them to the enemy. Samson was a man who was quite vengeful. When he was very angry, he took revenge upon his enemies. In chapter 15, he is denied his wife. He burns the Philistines' corn. He catches 300 foxes and ties firebrands between the tails of two by two. And I don't know how he caught those foxes. He must not only have been strong, but he was fast as well. He had to be fast to catch those foxes. And they went through the field with those firebrands and set the field on fire and burned not only the crop, but also burned the vineyards and the olives from the olive trees. And of course, the Philistines were exceedingly angry because this had been done. But what happens is eventually Samson slays 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. Then in chapter 16, we find that Samson went down to Gaza and saw there a prostitute, a harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they surrounded him and laid wait for him all night. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. Samson lay low till midnight, and he arose at midnight and with his prodigious strength took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and just pulled them up as it were by the roots and walked away with them, bar and all, put them upon his shoulders, carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. It came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, and we all know her. She lives in infamy as a wicked and evil woman. Her name was Delilah. And it is significant that no mother that I know of has ever named her daughter Delilah, because that name is contaminated. That name is defiled. And nobody would want to label their daughter with the name Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came to Samson, and they said unto him, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we might bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And so they bribed Delilah to find out the secret of Samson's strength. And using her womanly charm and using her persistence, she begged Samson and worried Samson, trying to discover the secret of his strength. And we find that the first time he didn't tell her the truth and he retained his strength. The second time he fooled her. The third time he fooled her. But she finally got to him. Day after day, she worried and wore him down. And finally, he told her the secret of his strength. And when the enemies came in that fourth time, he was weak just like any other man. And he felt like he'd be able to get up and shake everything off and be just like he was before. But he did not recognize that the law had departed from him. So his enemies took him in his weakness, having been shorn of his hair and shorn of his strength. They took him and they put out his eyes and they set him to work in the prison house, grinding. A pitiable spectacle was Samson, this great man of great strength. A great servant of God. His strength, in essence, became a means of entanglement and a means of his defeat. His great strength became a great weakness. And just like that was true of Samson, his blessing of great strength from God was perverted into a curse because he managed it very poorly. There was potential danger in his great blessing of strength, and there's potential danger in all of our blessings that we need to be made aware of. When good things are perverted and misused, they become a curse unto man. Great intellect, higher education, excessive knowledge may become a curse. Education is power. And if God is not in control of one's life, education and great knowledge can be a curse. Jeremiah reminds us in Jeremiah 10:23, saying, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 1, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You know, there are a lot of folks who are well-educated, and education has its place. If we operate with our education in submission to the will of God. And we have some very faithful members of the body of Christ who are well educated. But by and large, education spoils men. High education for a number of persons, they feel they don't need God. And I know persons who have been members of the body in their youth, and they remain pretty much faithful and loyal to the Lord until they receive their higher education. They got especially doctor's degrees, and they lost their faith, and they reached the point where they became intellectually proud and haughty, even to the point of looking down on commoners and dismissing the idea of God and God's word and the relevance of the church and the need for salvation. They have rejected and repudiated divine wisdom and the inspiration of God's word by virtue of education. Somebody stated that some people have been educated beyond their intelligence. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 1, he says, "We know that we all have knowledge." Knowledge, he says, and he contrasts knowledge and love. He says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And this is a general statement. Knowledge has the tendency to puff people up, to cause people to think more highly of themselves than they should. But a person who possesses love, he will build others up. He will tend to edify others. One cannot be a Christian without being humble and as teachable as a child. Many lost to modernism because they could not manage much worldly learning nor resist the influence of worldly men as their teachers. Knowledge is a blessing. Don't allow me to be misunderstood, but it has its temptations also. It has a built-in potential danger. Not only is that the case, but there are a number of other things of which I shall mention several, other great blessings which possess potential danger built in. And one you might not suspect, is time. Do you realize that time is a great blessing? If misused, it becomes a curse. We mentioned in class this morning, Ephesians 5:16, we should be redeeming the times or making the very best possible use of our time. The same time used by one to prepare, for instance, to be a great surgeon may be used by another to become a bank robber or an embezzler. If we did not have the blessing called time, it could not be misused, it could not be abused, and become a curse. It depends on how you utilize the time that God has blessed you with. You can use it for positive purposes to accomplish positive and meaningful goals, or you can use it to engage in criminal activity and to perpetrate evil. Just depends upon how you use your time. Similarly, wealth is a great blessing, but unfortunately, wealth often becomes a great curse. Paul makes this very clear in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He says in verse number 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And he tells Timothy in verse 11 of 1 Timothy 6, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. Follow after godliness. Follow after faith. Follow after love. Follow after patience. Follow after meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Then in verse 17 he says, charge them that are rich in this world, because he recognizes the potential danger that is built in. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Great beauty or handsomeness or personality, when perverted to a sinful purpose, becomes a curse. You know, it's good to be attractive. It's good to be handsome. It's good to be beautiful. But recognize that your beauty, your comeliness, can be a curse. And parents, if you have a beautiful daughter, recognize that her beauty can be a curse. Parents, if you have a very handsome, attractive, charming son, recognize that that charm, that handsomeness, that powerful physique he might have been blessed with can be turned into a curse, because sometimes it becomes the possible means of deception and seduction, and it becomes the means of committing fornication and committing adultery because of one's good looks, because of one's handsomeness. Notice something that we read in Proverbs 31 and verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Young ladies, if you're attractive, if you're beautiful, mothers and fathers of young ladies that are attractive or beautiful, help them to understand that favor is deceitful. Help them to understand that beauty is vain. Help them to understand that a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And tell them like my mama used to say, beauty is as beauty does. The Lord seeth, not as man seeth. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So handsome young people, beautiful young people, need to be aware that your beauty, your attractiveness, if you do not really submit yourself to God and commit yourself to living for God, can be a curse, because it can cause you to be led into a trap, and you can become involved in sinful activities just by virtue of your being very attractive. Parents, let your children know this. Teach your daughters to always carry themselves in such a way that they demonstrate a special dignity, and that they embrace a lifestyle of purity, and that they always look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. Help them to recognize that you always want to live a life that is in keeping with the will of God, and always give priority to the inner person, not the external person. We read in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 22, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. You know, it's unfortunate. Sometimes you see a very beautiful young lady, but who has no real discretion, has no real self-respect, doesn't know how to carry herself, puts herself in very dangerous and treacherous situations because she does not have any discretion. And a beautiful woman without discretion, without chastity, without the proper carriage of herself, without a special sense of feminine propriety and dignity, a woman without that, who's very beautiful, is like a jewel of gold in a pig's snout. That's a pretty unfavorable comparison. But he's trying to help us see that beauty by itself, without discretion and without wisdom and without restraint, is a dangerous thing and can become a blessing. Finally, let me mention one other thing, one other great blessing which possesses potential danger. Even a good moral life and devotion to spiritual duty may be a curse and can contain potential danger. And you might wonder, how in the world can that happen? How can a good moral life and devotion to duty and to God end up being dangerous, end up being a curse? Well, a good moral life and devotion to duty and to God may cause one to despise others and may cause one to be lifted up in pride. Such was the case of the publican and the Pharisee. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, and we will conclude with this. Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. He said, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus concluded, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. There are great blessings which have built in potential danger. We need to be aware of this fact. Samson was blessed with great strength, but his great strength was instrumental by the way he used it, by the way he managed it. It resulted in his ultimate downfall and death. But I'm glad of one thing, that God, despite Samson's moral weakness, despite Samson's spirit of vengeance and his impetuosity, despite Samson's lust, God still was able to use him. But yet, a great blessing became a cursing, because he failed to properly manage the blessing of strength by which he had been endowed by God. What great blessings do you have that have the potential for destruction and for being a curse? Lastly, as we close, the blessing of health has built within it the possibility of great danger. You say, well, how in the world can that be? Isn't it wonderful to be healthy? Yes, it is. I appreciate that very much. Isn't it a great thing, a wonderful blessing to be possessed of health by the Lord? It most certainly is. But there's a built-in danger of being healthy. What it can do is it can lull you into a state of thinking that I have plenty of time to turn my life over to God. And it can cause one to procrastinate in getting his relationship right with God. I'm in good shape. I'm healthy. I'll eventually obey the Lord. There's no reason to be hasty about this matter. There's no reason that I have to act right now. I have plenty of time because I'm in good shape. The doctor's given me a good report, told me I was healthy as a horse. I have a long time to be around, but not so. Many people who've been very healthy, making plans for the future and felt like everything was going to be fine and that they had plenty of time, their lives were cut short. See, there's so many ways by which your life can be cut short. And you might be healthy today and you might be sick tomorrow. But as my dad used to say, on your healthiest day, you are sick enough to die. Police officer here in Nashville, not long ago, had worked over 30 years for the police department and doing fine. And his plan was, after he would retire, he said, my wife and I, we're gonna live it up. We're gonna have a great time. I've put in these many years working hard. Now I'm gonna get my dues. So we're going to travel. We're going to enjoy ourselves. We're gonna take cruises. We're gonna visit other countries. We're going to just spend time with each other and get to know each other even better. Once I retire, we're going to have ourselves a ball. We're going to travel from here to there, and we're just going to enjoy life. Those were his plans. And apparently he felt that he was pretty healthy, good shape. But after he retired, very shortly after that, I'm told that he was diagnosed with a very serious illness. I believe it was a cancer. And within 30 days after he retired, he was gone. They buried him. And I say that simply to say life is so uncertain. Because he had that disease operating ominously in his body. He didn't know about it. But there are other folks who are in good shape, who are in good health, but their lives are snatched away. It can happen so easily. So people can be lulled into a false state of security and feel like I have plenty of time because you're in good shape, because you're feeling good, and you might be in excellent health. But don't let that blessing become a cursing by allowing it to cause you to postpone your obedience to God. Just want you to think about it. If you're here and you have been blessed with time, we'd like for you to take advantage of that blessing. Don't let it become a cursing. Don't let it cause you to procrastinate, to put off, to hesitate. to vacillate and equivocate, use that time to obey the Lord. And if you're not a child of his this evening, you can become one through obedience to the gospel. You know what to do, and you've heard it time and again. If you're already a child of God but have fallen by the wayside, don't put off renewing your relationship with the Lord. Yeah, use time wisely. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the time. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2. Will you obey the Lord tonight as we together stand and as we sing?
On his calling the prodigal come without delay. Hear, O hear him calling, calling now for thee. Though you wandered so far from his presence, come today. Hear his loving voice calling still. Calling now for thee.